This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS. Now, back to a couple of guys that think Dr. Doolittle was a quack.
My heart knows it better than I know myself, so I'm gonna let it do all the talking.
It's 11:35, and we're back here at 1320 WILS with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. Rick, in this segment, we're going to talk about something that you've been doing at Pruce Pets that most people aren't aware of, and it has to do with our last conversation we just had with Michael Breen, and it has to do with what you've got in your back room, the fish that you've got being reproduced, and really the live bear that you've got going on back there that I don't think most people are even aware of what live bear is.
Rightly. I took Lee down for a little tour behind in the back of our store, and unbeknownst to a lot of people, we have actually about a 1,000-square-foot room where we're propagating fish. And what's really cool is that the very anchor fish of the Florida fish farmers is what we refer to commonly as a live bear, because the babies come out alive as opposed to having to spawn them. And so they have been a substantial part of the Florida fish farming market, and pretty much has been always referred to as the bread and butter of the industry. Well, we were on our own separate little journey for the last several years, and most of that started when a very interesting interview happened in my office when a fella that was brought in from great people, immigration services here in Lansing, brought a Cuban immigrant into my office. He hardly spoke English, and he had a little file in front of him. And he started opening up that little file or folder, if you will, and started showing me pictures and diplomas. And I was very curious about that because his diploma depicted that he was a veterinarian. Okay, so I have someone sitting in my office that's been a veterinarian most of his life, and at the same time, he didn't seem to focus on that. He focused on the pools, the photographs of the pools and the fish aquariums that he had that he brought with him from Cuba, and he was sitting in the office showing me how proud he was about these various types of fish that he had propagated. And as the story turned, he had produced thousands and thousands and thousands of live bear fish for the Cuban government and was exporting those. He was getting, you know, less than a penny a piece for these fish, but the Cuban government was exporting these over to Europe. And they were selling and make that part of their overall livelihood in Cuba. So when he came down, when he came into the office and sat down, I was like, this sounds like a real possibility. And it didn't take us too long to get through the language barriers. And if you talk to him today, although you might, you may know that he's an immigrant as opposed to somebody that was born and raised here in the United States, his English is very good. And he has become an invaluable asset to the store and where we're at and where we're going in the future. And it just brings me to this particular story in that he has, we've set up a room for him in the back of the store, and he produces fish like you would not believe, and he does it in a relatively small amount of area, and we produce enough fish now, especially live bears. And when I let me emphasize to the audience what a live bear is, because it's that very colorful fish you're going to see when you walk through a pet store, and it's going to be a swordtail, it's going to be a bright orange swordtail, it's going to be a beautiful tailed guppy, it's going to be those types of fish that you see that you want to have as your first fish in the trade. And partly because it is going to be that first fish in the trade, which is what led us to the idea of breeding fish in our program and actually going to the trouble of doing that. And it is a lot of effort, and he puts a lot of effort into it. But we produce thousands of swordtails, thousands of guppies, and it all is at the hard efforts of Antonio Comos, and he is just a real gem.
Well, I can say, Rick, from looking at the different tanks you had in that room, you also had a wonderful selection of angelfish and tiger barbs and other fish like that that also are pretty much a staple in a lot of people's fish tanks. And I would imagine that there's got to be some degree of effort in keeping those fish and really breeding them the way that you want to.
Yeah, I think I need to at least stop and mention that there's only one reason those fish are being bred in that back room, and that's basically been that the industry has sometimes fallen short, or the circumstances surrounding the particular species of fish, we haven't been able to rally around and solve some of the industry-wide problems for those particular fish. And it usually involves some type of parasite or virus infection or some kind of particular problem that plagues the industry in one way or another. With live bears, it's got its own special unique story, and it has everything to do with the fact that these animals are raised out of doors and they're particularly susceptible to a particular digenetic parasite. That is a parasite that lives within a bird and then a snail and then a fish, and then it works its way through the food web. And outdoors, you have that food web problem. And indoors, you don't have that food web problem. So, and then we have angelfish, and that's that has to do with a particular virus that went through the industry and pretty much wiped out angelfish throughout the entire United States. Maybe only 15 or 20% survived, and from that we have the inventories of angelfish that are on the market today. And the best way of us to protect ourselves is to breed our own angelfish. It's a labor of love. It's not certainly the arm of our store that creates money generation, but it really is that one arm of our store that if you're going to get into the hobby and you see a beautiful swordtail and you want it to do well, if it's loaded with a particular parasite that I made reference to, a digenetic fluke, 2 months, 3 months later, you're going to lose that live bear, and it's going to kind of weigh on your soul and your consciousness as to whether you want to stay in this hobby. So everything that we emphasize is to make sure that that particular animal, when it goes out the door, is a particularly healthy animal. And we can tell that, and a lot of stores can't tell that, by just simply using a microscope. So one of the things that I tell customers is to make sure that wherever they get their fish, if they aren't going to quarantine or isolate those fish themselves, that they go at least to a shop that's going to have a microscope and it can kind of tell them what might be wrong with the fish coming in their back door. And if they can't tell that, then they need to maybe set up their own quarantine or isolation tank before they actually put the fish in with their prized animals.
Well, I would also imagine, Rick, that whenever you add a fish to a tank, you obviously need to acclimate them to the environment that you're putting them in. But I would imagine that by having that back room set up, you can control the water chemistry. You can control a lot of the facets that you might not be able to control when something's being shipped into you from somebody else. Plus, I would imagine that because the fish have been there for a while, they've had a chance to become healthier and really acclimate to a good environment.
Yeah, there's two rooms in the back room that kind of sets us apart in the industry, in that one is the fish propagation room, and about the same size as our quarantine room. Now, when the fish boxes come in, they come into the back room, and we acclimate these fish in the back room. So we refer to it as a quarantine room. It's kind of a, you know, a sterile concept, but it's really valuable as far as making sure the fish are healthy. First thing that happens when you come in, when they come in, doesn't matter what store you're at, styrofoam boxes come in, and the first thing you tend to do is you open the box and you slide your hand down and you see what the temperature of that bag is. Because sometimes those boxes tend to stay on the vehicle for a little bit too long, and you have to have some specific, you know, therapy on those fish when they come in. We're always concerned about those animals and how they're shipped and how they get there. When we breed our own fish, now all of a sudden, that's all taken away. We got nice tropical paradise in the back room, 78 degrees, constant and continuous, a healthy fish, and it's not been stressed. Because most of the problems you're going to have with tropical fish, it's not like that there's this big boogeyman going around affecting all your fish. The big boogeyman is going to be stress, stress, stress. And anything you can do to eliminate that stress, you know, you're going to have a healthier fish. And if you can't eliminate the stress, then you need to have some time out, if you will, that gives the fish a chance to respond and become healthy again.
Well, I suppose it also helps having someone like Antonio on your staff, who obviously has spent a big portion of his lifetime looking at and dealing with these stresses and understanding how to create the environment where the fish really do thrive.
Yeah. I'll give you an example. That digenetic fluke, for two years, prior to Antonio working for us, we would commonly remove the gill structure of the fish that had recently died, looked on the microscope and saw what that particular problem was and assumed it was one parasite for 2 years. And when we went and talked to the suppliers, they didn't know what it was. We just thought it was ick in the gills, which is a pretty common parasite. And we thought it was only associated with the gill tissue for some silly reason. Literally the first day that Antonio came on the job, he pulled the gill out, looked out of the microscope and says, "That's a diagenetic fluke," you know, in his own broken up language at the time. But he knew immediately what it was. And so ever since that particular point in time, we've changed specifically on how we treat a disease and how we effectively solve those problems.
Well, it's wonderful having that kind of a setup. And again, most people aren't willing to set up a room like that where there really isn't an economic tie to it. And as I said to you when I was back there, you must be the Board of Water and Light's favorite customer because of all of the water and all of the electricity that it takes in order to keep that room going.
Yeah, and I'll be curious to see how things go as we go, because we've been in this facility now. Basically, Antonio bred these fish in his basement for the first several years, and then it was only when we came to Old Town that we had the square footage that would allow us to have this particular room. And now we're actually expanding our facility and improving the amount of space, and we're trying to improve it so it's not so labor intensive. And we'll be curious to see where it goes. I'm hoping that I'm going to get a few phone calls from some retailers that we've thrown a note out there saying, "Hey, we've got extra fish if you're at all interested." So we're hoping that will go in all directions, you know, forward and actually make it a little bit more financially feasible to do exactly what we're doing.
Yeah, it's a fascinating chemistry and science that you have going there. Rick, in our next segment, we're going to talk with someone who can help people understand what to do in an emergency in their fish tank, because unfortunately, there is no fish rescue like we've talked with cat and dog rescues. But people need to know what they can do in an unfortunate circumstance like the one that Michael Breen described and like you've talked about, where when fish are in trouble, what do you do? How can you protect your fish tank and keep your fish thriving and alive? So we'll have that conversation next after the break here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
So I sent it to a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree. Ooh-hoo.